Hey, it's Andy. Welcome or welcome back to the Brownsbridge Church podcast. At the end of this episode, please take a moment to download the Brownsbridge Church app, where you can access all of our recent message content, as well as find out more information about Brownsbridge Church. And the app is the easiest way to share this content with a friend. But most importantly, I hope the following presentation inspires you to take your next step in your faith journey.
Well, hopefully your year is off to a great start. I don't know if you have specific things that you do in the month of January. Maybe you're a resolution maker, or maybe you're a resolution breaker. I'm sure we've got some of both in the room. I know for me, I typically get really reflective in the month of January, and it's not something I do intentionally. I just naturally, my mind will go back to previous New Year's, previous January's, that shift from December to January. And I just begin to think about what happened in previous years of my life. And again, it's not something I intentionally do. It just kind of happens naturally. And this month, I was thinking about how it was 18 years ago this month, almost 18 years ago to the day that I began the process of walking on the Georgia football team to play Georgia football. Now, I use the word play, but very, very loosely. I didn't really play all that much, which looking at me up here today, you're probably thinking to yourself, huh, shocker. And it wasn't the prettiest of processes. I mean, I'm 2 weeks in. We were in the middle of winter workouts when I decided to walk on the team, which is probably the worst time of year to try to walk on. And I remember waking up one morning, I was crying in the shower, like, what have I done with my life? There's no way I can do this. But eventually, I ended up making the team, and it was an incredible experience. I grew up a Georgia fan. My blood runs red and black. Anybody else's blood runs red and black a little bit in here? I thought we might have a couple people that understand that phraseology there, but it was an incredible experience. And I can remember it like it was yesterday. And for me, the biggest part of the day, because I wasn't like a superstar, I didn't get to play all that much. To me, the biggest part of the day was just going and like getting dressed for practice. It was like, if I did that, I was like, whoo, yeah, here we go. I did my part today. And so I can remember 18 years ago, right now, walking through the glass doors of our athletic building. And right after you walk through, there was this big sign over to the left. It was illuminated, had a picture of a couple football players holding their helmets in the air, celebrating a victory. There was a person in a cap and gown that had just graduated. The Georgia Arch was there. And there was a phrase on this sign. And I'd never heard it before. This is a phrase that is around different places. It's kind of a motivational phrase. You may have heard it before, but there was a phrase there and I saw it every other day and I would always read it and be like, oh, that's interesting. And so it's stuck in my mind to this day. And this was the phrase that was on the sign. If it is to be, it's up to me. And it was obvious what they were trying to do. They were trying to motivate us with whatever we were stepping into that day, whether it was films, or we were doing some sort of workout session, or we were coming to practice, or even if we were getting ready for the game, they were trying to motivate us to give our all, to play our part. What can we bring to the table? If it is to be, if we're gonna win, if you're gonna graduate college, if it is to be, it's up to me. And I thought about some of the dreams that I had back in the day. I was like, well, it'd be nice to start on the football team. It'd be nice to lead the team in reception, score a bunch of touchdowns, and get drafted into the NFL, and get my face on the cover of Sports Illustrated. And you can see how well all that turned out for me, because now I'm a pastor. If it is to be, it's up to me. What's interesting about this phrase, as I was thinking about it, is this really is at the center of all of our New Year's resolutions. All the things that are marketed to us during this time of year, all the things we see on TV, everything that we read about this time of year, really at the center of all of them is, if it is to be, it's up to me. If something great is gonna happen this year, the power is in my hands. If I'm gonna make it a better year this year than last year, it's ultimately on my shoulders. If it is to be, it's up to me. So what do? We go out and join a gym. Maybe we start trying to save money, start looking at our finances. We go to the grocery store and we buy a bag of kale. We don't eat the kale. we just buy the bag and we put it in our fridge, and somehow that makes us feel better, makes us, you know, feel like we're on the right track. And so we do, we pick some area to work on. We say, if it is to be, it's up to me. And then we start trying really, really hard. We say, hey, this year is gonna be different. And some of us have success. Some of us have success. But for the other 99% of us, we end up giving up a few months in, or maybe even a few minutes in. And we end up thinking, well, is there something wrong with me? Do I not have enough commitment? Do I not have enough self-discipline? Why couldn't I follow through on this? Or, and this is what most of us do, we just kind of shrug our shoulders and move on. After all, isn't this the same thing that happened last January and the January before and the January before? And, you know, last year didn't turn out too bad. It was an okay year. But let's be honest in here. I mean, we don't want a year that's just okay, do we? We don't want a year that's not too bad. We all want a great year. 100% of us in here, we would say, I want a better year this year than last year. We want to experience something greater this year than we did last year. And if it's going to happen, we need something more than this. We need something more than just the internal, hey, if it is to be, it's up to me. Because here's the problem with this statement. As long as we view the year through our individual lens, we limit what we could accomplish. We limit what we could experience. We limit what God can do in and through our lives as well. Because the more self-centered we get, the more self-centered we get in our pursuit of success or our pursuit of change or our pursuit of a better year, the more self-centered we get, the further we move away from the thing that will actually help us achieve it. Think back to your previous successes. Maybe you joined a gym and you actually went more than two times in the new year. If you look back, think about it. There was probably a trainer that you got connected with, or maybe you joined a class and there was somebody there to partner with you. Maybe one year you chose you were gonna get your finances in order and say, this is the year we're gonna pay off our debt. We're gonna really start attacking this. We're gonna get everything put in the right place. Try to start saving some money. And you had some success with it. Odds are you probably partnered up with a financial advisor. You went through a MoneyWise class here at Brownsbridge Church. You know, you had somebody to guide you through it. Or if you were able to actually be successful with that diet, it's probably because you had someone to go keto with you. The reality is that any success that we have in our lives, somebody else is involved. Almost all the time, there is somebody or somebodies that played a crucial role in whatever we experienced or whatever we achieved in life. The Christian psychologist and author Henry Cloud talks about this. He's written a number of different books, but he talks about this specifically in one of his books called The Power of the Other. And he's talking about what he calls the mind-body problem. It's the thing that people have wrestled with for a long time of how does the invisible affect the visible in so many different ways. And he says this about it. He says, but however we explain the mechanisms, the neglected truth, meaning the thing that we so often miss, the thing that we look past, the thing that we don't recognize, the neglected truth is that the invisible attributes of relationship, the connection between people, have real, tangible, immeasurable power. Ask many people about their greatest accomplishments and the challenges that they have overcome, and you will find one thing in common. There was someone on the other end who made it possible. So this year, as we look to a better year, as we look to 2019, maybe if it is to be, it's not just up to me. Maybe if it is to be, it's not just up to you. Maybe we can look somewhere other than just looking in the mirror to try to find the success and the strength and the courage to make this year a better year. Henry Cloud wasn't the first to say this, not by a long shot, actually. 3,000 years ago, ancient Israel had a king named Solomon. If you've been in church for any amount of time, you've probably heard of Solomon at some point. He wrote several of the books in our Old Testament, and Solomon was known for his wisdom. We see several different accounts in the Old Testament of his wisdom on display in certain situations where he was in a bind and he chose a really wise way to get out of it. But the main thing that demonstrates his wisdom is this collection of these short, pithy wisdom statements that we have known as Proverbs, the Old Testament book of Proverbs. And a number of these Proverbs deal with the power of the others in our lives. But today I want to look at one specific scripture that if we could remember it throughout this year, if we could think through the lens of this scripture, it could lead us to a better year. Here's what Solomon said 3,000 years ago. And it's amazing that what he said 3,000 years ago is relevant to our lives today as it is. Here's what he said. Your crew will determine you. That's not really what he said. Well, it sort of is what he said. It's just not exactly how he said it. Here's how he said it in Proverbs 13, verse 20. He says, he who walks with the wise grows wise. Now, this is a really important word because this word grows means that it happens over time. Typically, this time of year, we look for the quick fix. We look for something that's gonna turn our health around immediately or turn our finances around immediately or turn our relationships around immediately. But success doesn't happen overnight. It happens over time. We talked about this in week one. Jeff Henderson, if you weren't here, you should get the Brownsbridge app. You can go back and watch week one or watch it on our website. But he talked about this idea of, you know, every day we have the opportunity to make small deposits into our life. And it's what happens day after day after day of these small deposits collecting that's going to determine at the end of the year what our life's like, what we experience, and if this year was a better year than last. And today I want to take it a step further and say that what we're reading from Solomon basically says, okay, it's not just you and me who put these marbles in our jar. It's not us who make these deposits over the long term. It's actually the people around us. The people that we surround ourselves with are the ones that are gonna make these deposits far more impactful than we can in and of ourselves. He who walks with the wise grows wise. Or another way you can kind of draw from this illustration is that if you don't have wise people in your life and you're not walking with them, you'll lose your marbles. Yeah, thank you. Some people clapping at that. That makes me feel real good. But this is the thing, isn't this what we want this year? I mean, when we get to December, don't we wanna know that this was a year of growth? We grew in wisdom, we grew in knowledge, we grew as a parent, we grew as a spouse. We grew in our relationship with Jesus. Our faith grew this year. This is what we want. Over time, these small deposits from the people that surround us in life will help us grow. And Solomon explains that. He says, hey, if this is what you want, well, this is what you gotta do. He who walks with the wise. He says, he who walks with the wise. This is an ongoing process. It's a going along with. It's not just getting someone to like you on Facebook that's wise, that will make you wise. No, it's not just an acquaintance. It's doing life with and around these people. He who walks with the wise grows wise. And then Solomon says essentially the same thing, but as he continues this verse, he says it in a different way. He says, but a companion of fools, again, the idea of somebody that you're walking alongside, spending significant time around, a companion of fools suffers harm. Same idea. Who you surround yourself with will determine what gets put in your jar this year. But here's what I don't want you to miss in the second part of the verse. This phrase suffers harm in the original language, Hebrew, what the Old Testament was written in. It's one word in Hebrew, and it actually means not only to suffer harm, but also to cause harm to others. It's both at the same time. It's that, hey, there's damage that's inflicted on you when you're a companion of fools, but you also turn and inflict damage on others. You suffer harm, but you also transfer that harm to others. What's interesting is that 3,000 years ago, this was written, and all of us in here have examples of this in our lives, don't we? I mean, we can all look at specific seasons of life, specific decisions that we made that now we look back on with a little bit of regret or a little bit of guilt. And anytime we look back to a season like that, there's typically a person or a group of people that we say to ourselves, you know what, if I just didn't meet him, if I just didn't date her. you know, if I had not taken that one job, I knew I shouldn't have taken it, but the money was so good. And man, it got me hooked up with the wrong crowd. You know, in college, if I had just that one group of guys at the fraternity, if they weren't there, things would look different. Years after Solomon has written this, we still experience it today. Yeah, there's times in our lives, all of our lives, where we've gotten connected with, we've walked alongside people that led us to a season that we regretted, or at a minimum, decisions that we regretted. He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. Now, fast forward about 1,000 years after this. It's in the time of the early church. It's after Jesus' death and resurrection. The Apostle Paul is traveling all around the Mediterranean. He's starting churches with his good news of Jesus, the relationship that we can have with God through his sacrifice on our behalf. And as he launches these churches, he's writing letters to them to encourage them and teaching them how to live in this new way, in this relationship that they have with Jesus. One letter in particular is directed towards people in a city of Corinth. And Corinth was a port town, so it had all sorts of diversity, people coming in and out all the time. There was all sorts of beliefs and practices that went on in that day. And Paul ends up leveraging the wisdom of Solomon from 1,000 years earlier. Except he takes this is just a principle. This is not even a religious principle. This is just a principle about life. It's just true of every one of us. It's just true of the world. He takes this principle and then he drills it down into a specifically Christian context as he writes to these new believers in Corinth, this new Christian movement in Corinth. Now, if you're not a Christian today, what he's about to say doesn't necessarily apply to you. I mean, the principle from Solomon is true for you, but what Paul's writing is, again, specifically to a Christian audience. He says this in 2 Corinthians. He says, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. And by unbelievers, he meant people that believe differently than you, people that value differently than you, people whose worldview is different. And as they look at the days ahead and the months ahead and the years ahead, they're moving in a different direction than you. He says, don't be yoked together with them. A yoke was an agricultural tool. You've probably seen a yoke before, especially if you've ever eaten at Cracker Barrel. Next time you're at Cracker Barrel, just look up. There's probably a yoke hanging somewhere on the wall next to the pitchfork and the old license plates. But it's this wooden tool. It's got two arches on it. They would hook two animals in this, and the purpose of it was to make them more efficient. The purpose of it was to accomplish more, to get more done, by locking these two animals in together. Paul says, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. He wasn't saying don't associate with young unbelievers. He wasn't saying don't be friends with them. We certainly know that, not only from the context of this scripture, but also if you look at the life of Paul, he would have been the chief violator of this. I mean, Paul went all around the Mediterranean to these brand new cities where there were no believers at all. And he developed relationships and he built trust and he invested in these people. So he would have been the number one violator of that rule, of his own words, if that's what he meant. Another thing is this is not just about marriage. A lot of churches, I don't know the church you grew up in, but I know that the churches I've been involved with through the years typically refer to this verse when they're talking about marriage. But Paul was saying, no, it's much broader than that. This is all of life. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. So what did Paul mean when he said this? He expounds a little bit as he continues. He says, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? He was using these opposite terms, righteousness and wickedness, and light and darkness, these opposite terms to illustrate his point. That a yoke only works if you're moving in the same direction and at the same pace. And that there are a number of different problems that are created when those two animals begin to go in a different direction. And certainly nothing is accomplished, nothing is efficient, and you won't move in the direction that you want to go. And the same is true for you and for me. If we want to grow our faith, if we want our relationship with Jesus to be as strong as it can be, if we want this year to grow us individually and personally, relationally, then we've got to surround ourselves with people that are moving in the same direction. The people that we're intentionally walking with, the people that are speaking into our lives, we need to know, hey, they're headed in the same direction that I want to end up in. We talk about this idea with our students all the time, in transit or middle school environment, inside out or high school environment. If you've got kids in those environments, they hear us say this one phrase all the time, and it's this, that your friends will determine the direction and the quality of your life. Again, we remind them of this over and over again, because here's the deal. As adults, we all know this is true. As we look back to high school, as we look back to middle school, as we look back to college, it's like, yep, your friends do determine the direction and the quality of your life. And for adults, I feel like it's more than just friends. It's associates, it can be neighbors, it can be coworkers. Anybody that we're really locking in with and doing life together, that we're leaning into for wisdom and for advice on life. It's the people that we're around consistently. Your friends will determine the direction or quality of your life. Or if you want to say it a different way, your crew will determine you. Your crew will determine you. And it's not just who's there now. It's not just whoever surrounds you now. We actually get to speak into this. We, for the most part, can choose who surrounds us. It's intentional. It's not just, hey, let's just sit back and see who comes along. This is something as well that we can pray about. We can go to God and say, okay, God, 2019, who is it that you want me to invest in this year? What relationships do I need to focus on this year? God, who do you need to bring into my life to encourage me and to challenge me and to help me continue down the road that you're calling me towards? Who is it, God? And then we watch as God begins to bring people along. And we go, oh, okay, yeah, this is a relationship I need to invest in. This is somebody that I think God has brought along to encourage me or to play a specific role in my relationship with him. Your friends will determine the direction and the quality of your life. He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. So if you want to know what you'll become in 2019, don't look in the mirror. Look around. Just take a look around at the people that surround you. You don't have to look at your calendar with all the plans you have. I mean, it's great to plan things out, but don't just look at your calendar. Look at your call log. Who are the people that you're calling and you're talking to on a regular basis? Who are the people that have access to you? Who are the people that you're safe enough with them that you would open up and share when you're struggling? And they can walk alongside you in that season. Who will you become in 2019? Take a look around. Look at the people that surround you. Now, this is something that we believe so much as a church. It really shapes everything that we do around here. This morning, down in Wombaland and Upstreet, hundreds of kids will circle up in a small group. Down in transit in the attic, we'll have about 700 middle schoolers down there this morning, and every one of them will get to spend some significant time in a small group this morning. This afternoon at Inside Out, we'll have somewhere about 700, 800 high school students, and they'll have an incredible time. The music will be great. They'll have some fun, do some games, but every Sunday afternoon, they finish their time by spreading all throughout this building, and I literally mean every nook and cranny of this building is filled with high schoolers that are circled up into a small group so that they can have conversation about life. They can be real with a few others, and they can have an adult leader that can help them navigate what a relationship with Jesus looks like in this pivotal high school years. Throughout the week, the Tuesday nights here at Browns Ridge, we have the living room where a couple hundred college students get together. They have small groups every single week. And then we have hundreds and hundreds of small groups for adults that meet on every night of the week all throughout this community. In fact, you may not know this, but we only have had one numeric goal as an organization since we started 23 years ago. Andy gets asked this all the time, our senior pastor, Andy Stanley. People ask, hey, you know, what was your goal? What'd you set out to do? Did you have an attendance goal that you wanted to hit? Did you have a number of churches that you wanted to plant in the Atlanta area? And his answer is always the same. He's like, no, we had one numeric goal from the very beginning. And it was to see 100,000 people in small groups We've been building towards that over the last 23 years. Another thing that we do, again, this just comes out of how much we believe in the power of community, the power of others in our lives, is we will pay for your babysitter. You may not know this, but when you're going to group, you gotta be going to group, okay? Not on like a date. But we'll pay for your babysitter. And we've done that for 23 years. And other churches and organizations ask us all the time, they're like, wait, how in the world do you do this? And you know, how do you have that in the budget? And it's like, hey, no, we value this so much. We believe in it so much that we wanna remove every obstacle we can to help people connect with others that will help them walk the journey of life and grow their faith. And so for adults, we launch groups a couple times a year, and we are about to step into our January group launch. This year, we are doing it brand new. This is something we are doing. It's brand new. We've never done it before. It will be super, super easy. If you're not in a group, it will be super easy to connect in a group. We no longer do the event here called Group Link that you have to come to, and it's kind of like speed dating, and you had to find your people. We're no longer doing that. We're gonna put all of our groups online, all the details online, and you can sign on and sign up for a group that you choose. Here's what it's gonna look like. On Wednesday morning, we'll open up the groups. You'll go onto this website and you'll see all the different groups. You can scroll down. There'll be a bunch of different groups available. It shows the night of the week they meet, the time they meet, the location, how many open spots they have. Now, here's the deal. These groups are going to fill really, really quickly. So we want everybody to have the same opportunity to get into a group. So if you're not in a group, or even if you are in a group, I want you to pull out your phone right now. Pull out your phone. You can do it. You can do it. Pull out your phone. If you're not in a group, I want you to text this. You're gonna text 555, so the 555-888 goes up here. Just trying to make it as simple as possible. Sometimes we get these two confused. 555-888 up here, and then BB Groups right here in the text body. And here's what's gonna happen. We will send you a text on Wednesday morning when all of these groups open. That way you get your pick of the litter. You can find the group that works for you. And if you're not in a group, you should have got your phone out as well. I want you to text your small group right now and tell them how grateful you are for them, okay? So if you're not in a group, text this, 555-888, BB Groups, and we'll let you know Wednesday morning. As soon as you get that text, I would encourage you, log on and jump in a group and see what God will do in your life as a result of it. Now, let me say one more thing and then we're done. The reason why we talk about this all the time, the reason why we invest tons and tons of resources. We have an incredible staff that walk alongside all our groups and try to make it the best experience possible. The reason why we find new and creative ways to launch groups and get people connected is because we believe that this is instrumental. This is instrumental to our relationship with Jesus. And that God actually designed us this way. He designed us to be in relationship. And for us to experience what he wants to do in our lives, we've got to be connected with others. So this year, if you're already in a group, you can decide who is it that you need to specifically invest time in or specifically invite into your life this year. And if you're not in a group, join a group. He who walks with the wise grows wise. And ultimately that will lead to a better year. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, all of us in here can think about examples of things that happened in our lives that we celebrate. God, and there's always someone on the other side standing there with us, or there's a group of people standing there with us that help make that possible. Everything we're thankful for today, everything that we've experienced that we are grateful is a part of our lives, is ultimately tied to someone else or someone else that made it happen. God, we lose sight of this so often and we end up falling back in the mindset of if it is to be, it's up to me. We think that we've got to handle life on our own. We think that we have to carry life on our own. And I pray, God, that this year you would remind us that that's not the case. God, that we can invite others in. We can walk with the wise and grow wise. God, and we can take steps in the direction that you are calling us. Pray that all of us in here would do that as we kick off this year and that it truly would be a better year. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, once again, thanks for listening. If you're a Forsyth County resident, I would love for you to attend one of the weekend gatherings at Brownsbridge Church. For directions, service times, and information about our fabulous children's and student environments, please visit us at brownsbridgechurch.org. brownsbridgechurch.org.